Amen. Is anyone happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? All right. I'm starting to get you trained, aren't I? So praise the Lord. Before I get into the word this morning, we have two short things to do. Next week, we are going to take an offering for our missionaries who are serving overseas. We want to continue to bless them. So it's what we call Christmas in July, and so we're going to be doing that again next week. Crystal will be talking a little more about that next week, so please come prepared to bless our missionaries exceedingly abundantly, amen? How many of you believe it's a blessing to be able to give? I mean, think of the alternative. Think of the alternative. God blesses us to give, to be generous. What if we were so poor that we couldn't give? That is a blessing. That is a blessing that we have the ability to give. And when we give, God loves to give back and bless us. Amen? So the second thing we're going to do is we're going to hear from Arby this morning. He sent us another video, so here he is.
Hey, good morning, Life Center family. I hope you all are doing well and enjoying the heat and mostly smoke-free weather we're having. And, God is so good and so gracious all the time. And, Jesus tells us, in this world we will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And he doesn't say you'll have trouble and I'll pull you right out of it. Yeah, says take heart in that trouble and believe and trust in what he's doing and his plan. And that's the place I find myself lately. Life's a struggle every day, have to weigh every decision, every conversation of how much of my brain is this going to take. And it's like a bucket. And when my brain bucket gets full, I'm done for the day. I just have to go lay down, get away from noise and people and light. And definitely improving, getting better, but it's still a struggle every day. And definitely trouble. But the Lord tells us to take heart, even in those hard moments. And he will see us through, and I believe that. So I hope you all are doing well. Love you guys. Hope to see you soon. God bless.
All right, so Arby's still healing. He still needs more healing, but As John was talking about the healing that the blood of Jesus gave us when his body was broken. This isn't my sermon, so you're getting an extra special. The scripture just came to me. It says we walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Sight. You see, so many times we focus on what we can't do. The negative, instead of focusing on what Jesus wants to do. Amen? So I encourage you. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again because Arby tells me he's not getting very many phone calls. He would love to hear from you guys. So, give him a call. Let him know you still love him. Amen? He can't do texts. He has to wait till Kathleen gets home so she can read them because he still can't read. So just give him a phone call. He says he cherishes them. So if you don't, I'm going to start taking names. All joking aside, I encourage you to give Arby a call. Let him know that you're praying for him, that you still love him, and that you're waiting for him to come back. So with all that said, turn to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, Matthew 16. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came unto the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom do you say I am?" Who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you? He's asking us that question all the time. Who am I to you? Am I your healer? Am I your provider? He goes on, and Simon Peter, my favorite apostle, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your presence in our midst today, because that's a promise that you promised us, that where two or three are gathered, and there you would be in our midst. So we thank you, Father, for your presence here today. And Lord, we just want to yield to you and ask you, Father, to have your way today. Touch our hearts and our lives with your word. Help us to see clearly what you would have us to say to you, or you to say to us, that your name would be lifted up and magnified, Father, as we go out and touch our world. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now I'm going to talk to you probably the next few weeks about becoming the church. You know, a lot of times we look at the church and we see a building and a group of people. But the church was so much more than just a building and a group of people that got together and sang hymns and sat by on a particular day and just worshiped God a little bit. They were much more than a group of people that came and listened to his word. When Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he was talking about the revelation. Not Peter, but the revelation that Peter had gotten. Didn't he say, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you"? It was a revelation from God the Father that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And upon that revelation, the rock of that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, he says, "I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Say that with me. Shall not prevail against it. I believe that with all my heart. There is nothing that can prevail against me as part of the church of God. It may look terrible. things may happen in my life, but it will never separate me from God's love. Amen? So we're going to look at this just a few minutes here. The word that Jesus uses here in the Greek is a word that we hear all the time, and it is the word ekklesia. And it's a compound word, and it's a calling out that is concretely a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, a Jewish synagogue, or a Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven, or both, assembly or church. Now, I don't know how many of you guys get bombarded with stuff on Facebook and stuff about the church and how bad the church is and how flawed the church is, and that church in the first century was going from house to house, and that's a big lie. How many of you know that? That's a lie from the enemy trying to destroy the body. Nowhere in that definition of the church that he said anything about a house. He said a religious congregation, a Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both. Do you hear that? But we have a big group of people out there that want to see the church disappear. Now, I don't care what they call themselves. You can call, you can say that I'm all wet behind the ears, but I don't believe these people are Christians. I don't. I believe that they're in direct rebellion against God. Because Jesus himself went to synagogue. And the scripture says he was in the synagogue, as was his habit. So we know that Jesus had a habit of going to the synagogue, to the ecclesia. Okay? But in the first church, they went house to house. The scripture says so. They did. After they were kicked out of the synagogue. They were not welcome. They were not wanted. Why? Because they were teaching something different than the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted them to teach. They were teaching in the name of Jesus. Now that's just my first little tidbit on this. When someone tells you that the church is outdated and that God meant for us to be in a home setting. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in a home setting for Bible study, for things like that. But if I'm one of those people that pushes myself away from the ecclesia, what am I doing? What am I doing? And yet, we have a lot of people. It's all over the internet. And I just shake my head and say, who's teaching these people? Do they really look at the Word of God? Or is it just because this is the way I feel? Maybe I got hurt in church. Anybody ever been hurt? No, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever been hurt in church? I have. But it didn't cause me to leave the church. And I guarantee you, in fact, I saw a really good thing on the on one of the Christian sites, I can't remember what, and it says, divorce your pastor. And I thought, what? And it said, divorce your pastor, but take hold of the mission of your church. And then I started reading about what he was talking about. And he was talking about, don't allow the church to be built on the foundation of a pastor, to be built on the personality of a pastor, to be built on building up a man, but to embrace the mission that God has given the church. How many of you know every church is different? Every church has a different mission. And that's okay. But we embrace what God is doing in the church. Because I'll guarantee you, if you're expecting me to save you, you're in trouble. I can't do it. If you expect that I will never hurt you, you're probably in trouble. I will never deliberately do it, but you know, I'm human, right? This is the same with all of you. There's a possibility you'll say something to hurt my feelings. Well, God's a big God. He helps me to forgive. He helps me to forget. It's okay. The ecclesia is a group of people meeting together. And that's what Jesus said he will build, not tear down. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, hell has tried. Satan has tried through the centuries to destroy the church. He's still trying in some places today. Even today, we see the church being attacked. We see pastors that are being killed. We see entire congregations that are being wiped out, all because they believe in Jesus. But Satan has no power over them. It amazes me that if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, how many individuals were killed for the cause of Christ and did so willingly, refusing to renounce Christ. But how did they have such faith? How did they were part of the ecclesia. They were part of the church. And Satan cannot prevail in that setting. Amen? So what does Satan try to do? He tries to separate us. Oh, brother, you don't know what those people said about you. You just don't know, and all of a sudden you get to thinking, wow, those people just don't like me, so I'm just going to stay out. He told me my bald head shined too much when I'm on the pulpit. There's a few of you out there that can attest to that, huh? You know, some crazy thing like, and it's always dumb stuff. Oh, you know, I don't like the way they did, well, we don't have curtains here. I don't like the way they did the carpet. You know, we replaced the carpet in here, what, 4 or 5 years ago? And by golly, it's the wrong color because our chairs are burgundy, maroon, whatever, kind of red. It's crazy stuff that Satan tries to get into you to separate you from the church. And the church is our strength. So we're going to be looking at becoming the church, becoming the ecclesia. I've been looking at Acts over and over again because God was telling me we need to become the church of Acts, not read about the church of Acts. We need to be the church of Acts. We need to have faith that is undaunted. We need to believe what the scripture says. Even if we don't see things going the way we think they should. We've talked about healing a lot in this church. We've talked about things that were in the scripture. And sometimes we just don't see it. yet. Yet. Because I believe when the presence of God begins to fill our church, when the presence of God begins to be what we seek, when the presence of God is so powerful that it's like it was when Solomon dedicated the temple, that the glory of the Lord came down like a cloud. And the word says that they couldn't even stand to minister. They were all on their faces before God. And the Hebrew people, they didn't even have a word for it. So they made up this word called Shekinah, called the Shekinah glory of God, because they had never seen that before. I'm waiting for that to happen here. That's my prayer. I'm waiting for that to happen here. I want to see the power of God, that no matter who walks into this place, that they don't walk out the same way they walked in. You know, we used to sing songs like that. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Whatever happened to those beliefs? I don't want to walk out those doors the same way I walked in. I want to walk out those doors knowing that the glory of God has touched me in a powerful way. Anybody with me on that? Come on, that's a shouting thing. I want to be where the Catherine Kuhlman used to say it all the time. I want to be under the spout where the glory's coming out. Amen. I don't want to go to a church that has no power in it. I want to go to a place that the power of God is so powerful that sickness can't stay, that diseases can't stay, the same way it was in the book of Acts. So we're going to look at this a little bit. I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Now I've got, let's see, how many scriptures here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Are you guys up for staying for all of it? We're not even going to come close to getting through this. That's why I said for the next few weeks, we're going to be studying the book of Acts, because I want you to get a vision. I want you to catch the mission of the church. And that vision and mission is to seek and save the lost, to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus said it real simple himself. And I love this saying. I stole it, if that's okay. Brother Bill from somebody help me out. Bill Johnson, I stole it from him. I love it because it's true. He said Jesus said it real simple. Go out, make disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead. Amen? Well, you see, we're too intimidated because we see what's going on instead of seeing what the possibilities are. So we allow it to intimidate us. But the early church didn't do that. And that's why we're going to look at the early church. Acts 2. Starting at verse 42. Now we know in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was given to the church as was promised, right? It was promised in the Old Testament. It was promised by Jesus. That promise was fulfilled in the book of Acts. Anybody disagree with that? Good. If you disagree with me, I get my feelings hurt, you know. Starting at verse 42. Let's go back to 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, picture this. Peter, I told you he's my favorite one because he just jumps off the deep end and doesn't think about how far he's going and until he gets himself in trouble and then says, oh, help me, Lord, right? I'm kind of the same way. Sometimes I just don't think about the consequences. I just jump in there and do what I think God's telling me to do. And sometimes I have to go, uh-oh, help me, Lord. So Peter, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now picture this. They all, 120, now we're not talking about just 12. There were 120 in the upper room. Read the scripture, it'll tell you that. 120 in the upper room, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes. And it says, it became as a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And tongues of fire fell upon all of them. Not just the apostles, all of them. How many are ready for a tongue of fire to be upon your head? Amen? I'm ready for that fire of God to begin to burn through my soul and into the place where I'm not shy at all about sharing the gospel. And if any of you know me, you know that's already happened. I'm not bashful about sharing. I don't care if someone comes up to me in Walmart or any place else and says I need prayer. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to pray. It might scare all the bejeebers out of everyone around, but I'm going to stop and pray. And I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm not bashful about it at all. But all these people, they're start hearing this commotion, and they start gathering around. Now, how many people were there? I don't know. But there were a lot. Because 3,000 of them got saved. I don't know how many didn't. So we know there was at least 3,000. And they started hearing this commotion. Of course, you know, they're just like the world outside us today. Look at those crazy people there. Look at those crazy people. They go to church. Look at those crazy people. We could be out fishing today. Started mocking, and Peter stood up and he says, no, guys, this is what was prophesied in the book of Joel. He says, it's come to pass today. And as he stands up and he begins to preach the word, and he shares all the way back, and he starts telling them about the power of God, all of a sudden they realize that this is true. Amen. I don't know about any of you else around here, but when I first heard the gospel, I didn't want to believe it's true. But there was a point when all of a sudden I started realizing, this is true. This is true. And I need to get myself right with God. And so Peter stands up. And he preaches to them. And he preaches them a hard sermon. And then 3,000 of them get saved. Let's go on here. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And here we go. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods. In other words, they lived life together. That's part of the problem with the church today. We don't live life together. We come and we meet for 2 hours on a Sunday and we go our way. We don't live life together. Our sign out there says living life together, does it not? It does. If you don't believe me, look at the sign. Living life together. The apostles live like, now I'm not telling everybody to go sell everything they have and let's, that's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. The key is that they followed continually, steadfastly, the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread. And because of that, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Do you catch that? And it wasn't just the apostles. We're going to see in just a little bit. It wasn't just the apostles, but they continued. And we're going to go to Acts 3. In Acts 3, we find that Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple. And as they're on the way to the temple, to the gate beautiful, here's a man who is crippled. And boldness just comes over Peter and John. Boldness comes over. Why? Because they expected something to happen. When I pray, I expect something to happen. Amen? If we're not expecting, guess what? It's not going to happen. I said a few weeks ago, I hate missing church because I'm expecting something to happen. I don't know what God's going to do, but I want to be there when he does it. Amen? So Peter and John, they're on their way. And they're walking up to this gate. And they're going up there to pray. Now, I want you to understand something, that when they went to the synagogue to pray, they were expected to bring an offering. Amen? You just didn't walk into the synagogue without an offering. It might have been, you know, a pence or whatever. You know, it might have been small. But you just didn't go without an offering. And yet, when the man shook his cup or whatever he did, the word says that Peter fixed his gaze upon the man. In other words, he stared at him. He looked at him. And when he started looking at him, all of a sudden that faith rose up within Peter. And when that faith started rising up in Peter, Peter knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to heal that man. He just reaches down, he grabs his hand, he pulls him up. He says, "Silver and gold have I none." Now, we know he most likely had a little bit, but he said, "We don't have any. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the power of Jesus Christ, amen? I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave us." Picks him up. Now, this is the same Peter that denied even knowing Christ. There's hope for me. Amen? If Peter can do it, I can do it. There's hope. This is the same Peter. He raises him up, and the scripture says the man began to walk and to leap and to praise God. Amen? And that ought to get you guys shouting. I'll tell you what, you want to see the church catch fire? Start praying. Start seeking God. Start watching for miracles to begin to happen. And when miracles begin to happen, you're going to see an entire community want to know what's going on with those crazy Christians. But instead, we're like Peter. We let the little girl intimidate us because we're scared. But it says that they continued steadfastly, and they had a steadfast, a fearless witness, a boldness that just couldn't be stopped. In Acts 4, we're going to go through the whole book of Acts. So I challenge you, read the book of Acts. Start getting excited about seeing the book of Acts come alive within me, within you. Start seeing the book of Acts as being what God's direction for us is. And let's not be intimidated. See, the intimidation happened before the crucifixion. Amen? After the crucifixion, they weren't intimidated anymore. I've been crucified with Christ. There's no intimidation anymore. In Acts 4, we find Peter and John, they're pulled before the Sanhedrin, the court of their day, and their questions about, what in the world are you doing? Who gives you this authority? They're put in prison. Didn't faze them. How many of us would decide that that's going a little bit too far? How many of us would sit and say, I'm not sure I want to spend time in jail? Now, I'm not condemning anybody that closed their churches during COVID. I think most of you have heard it before. I refuse to. When our bishop called us and said, well, this is our, it wasn't a directive, but this is how we have to word this. The government says we have to close. I called my bishop up. And I said, Bishop, I'm not closing the church, not even for one Sunday. I am not closing our church. We are going to meet together. We're going to pray together. We're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit. And he, over the phone, I could almost hear him grinning. He said, that's what I want to hear from my pastors. He said, but I can't say it. Not one case of COVID hit our church. Not one case. Not one. Am I right, Jeanette? Not one. Why? Because we believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain us. And we weren't going to allow something to cause fear to come into our lives. And Peter and John were the same. They were on trial, and they threw them in prison, trying to figure out, how can we stop these guys? But they were bold. They didn't allow fear to interfere. Why? Because they had seen with their eyes the power of God. They had heard from the Master, I've got all power and authority in heaven and in earth, and because I have it, I'm giving it to you. Do you realize that transcends unto us? We have all power and authority. We just don't take it. We don't use it. We don't proclaim it. It's getting awful quiet in here. They had a boldness that they couldn't shake. And when they went before the Sanhedrin the second time, they straight told them, do not teach in the name of Jesus again. And they beat them. And I love Peter's prayer afterwards. Peter's prayer afterwards was very simple. God, give me boldness to speak in your name more. Give me more boldness to do what you need me to do. Give me the strength and the courage to be your hands and your feet for my community. Amen? And that's the way we become the church. It is we embrace the mission of the church. And the mission of the church is to see people saved, to proclaim the gospel in such a way that they see the goodness of God. If they need healing, that they get healed. If they need deliverance, that they're delivered. Whatever they need, the Holy Spirit wants to meet, to bring into them where they're a new creature. Those old things are passed away. They're passed away. They're dead. They're gone. They no longer exist. And that new creature starts rising up. And that new creature has the boldness to speak the name of Jesus. You know, we sing the song, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. But do we? Do we actually speak the name of Jesus when we're in our workplace, when we're in our homes, over our families, when we're out and about? I'll never forget one time that I was young. I was working for a company by the name of Brown and Root. I was working in a nuclear power plant as a welder. And one of the guys came up to me once, and he says, "You don't cuss like the rest of us. What's the difference?" And I started telling him about Jesus. And right there on the floor, he says, I want that. And I led him to Jesus right there. And I thought afterwards, there needs to be something more. And as trivial as it was, I found this little gold cross and I pushed it through my hard hat and clipped it on so that everyone would know what I stood for. Do your neighbors know what you stand for? Your co-workers know what you stand for? Do your relatives know what you stand for? Because if you don't stand, you'll fall. You may not, I'm not saying you'll go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. Don't anybody take it that way. But if you don't stand, you'll fall. You won't fulfill the mission that God is giving you. But think about it. What if Jesus hadn't fulfilled his mission? What if when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples, who they could fish all night, but they couldn't pray 1 hour. Left him all alone. He started praying. He knew what was coming. And all of a sudden, the stress started building, and he realized what was going to happen. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I do not believe in a million years that Jesus was afraid of the cross. But there was one thing he was afraid of. that he didn't want to do as he cried out, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And as that stress began to overtake him, the word says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. The translation of that in the Latin was hemahydrosis. Hema being blood, hydrosis being fluid. Or we translate it into English, hydraulic. It was a literal physical condition that the only writer saw was Luke, who was a physician. He recognized something was going on. He may not have known what it was, but he knew something was going on. And it's, Jesus was in such stress that the corpuscles in his brow began to break. And that little bit of blood mixed with his sweat as it was coming out, as he was looking. And he was looking down at what was going to happen, knowing that he, for the first time in his life, his was going to be sin for us. That's what he was stressed about, because he knew that sin separated from the Father. And if you look at the entire crucifixion, you'll know that at the end, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was when that sin was transferred from me to him. I praise God that he was willing, and he willingly went to the cross, because he looked down and he saw Mark Hicks was on his way to hell and had no way to change that course except through his blood. And he willingly took that. He wasn't going to let his mission fail. We need to do the same. We need to not let our mission fail. I pray every day as I go out and about, God, you show me who I can witness to today, who needs healing today, who needs prayer. Because I don't want my mission to fail. I want to be the church that Jesus built. And we read about it all through Acts. And it hasn't changed. It has not changed. Our mission is still the same. Our power is still the same. And when the power of the Holy Ghost begins to grip us, we're going to see miracles that are going to blow our mind. Amen? That's what I'm praying for. If we could have our prayer team come forward. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never accepted him. You don't know really what it's all about. I'm going to ask you, come forward this morning. Come forward this morning. Let us pray with you. Introduce you to this same Jesus we're talking about. Amen? If you're here this morning and maybe you've accepted Christ, but you've fallen away. You've let life get in your way. Now's the time to rededicate your life and say, God, I want this power in my life that keeps my mission focused on what you need me to do.